This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This campaign season, the race to succeed outgoing Boston City Councilor John Tobin didn't get much attention amid all the big midterm elections. But this past Tuesday, residents of the city's 6th district voted in a special election to elect Matt O'Malley to city council. O'Malley is a lifelong resident of the 6th district, which includes Jamaica Plain, West Roxbury, and parts of Roslindale and Mission Hill. And he'll become the youngest member of Boston City Council when he's sworn into office. And 31-year-old city councilor-elect Matt O'Malley joins me now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston, Matt.
Thrilled to be here, Sasha. Thanks so much.
And listeners, if you have questions for the newest and youngest Boston City Councilor, Matt O'Malley, you can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Matt, you won with 60% of the vote, a nice margin. What do you think you owe that sort of wide margin victory to?
Well, I'm just absolutely thrilled and elated. When this campaign began, we wanted to put together a campaign team and operation that truly reflected the vibrancy and the diversity of the district. And we campaigned very hard in Jamaica Plain and West Roxbury, as well as the portions of Roslindale and Mission Hill. We organized every neighborhood. I knocked just about every precinct, at least parts of it. And we ran a strong grassroots campaign. And I'm just absolutely humbled at the strong showing across the board.
You were also endorsed by your predecessor, John Tobin. How much do you think that endorsement helped?
It was a huge win for us. John's been a friend and a mentor to me, and his support meant the world to me and certainly helped me achieve victory.
So you're 31 years old, relatively young, yeah. But you've actually been involved in politics for a while. You started interning for Boston City Council when you were 16.
Yeah.
You've run two races before, although this is the first one you've won.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little about your political history.
Well, you know, it's funny. I grew up in the rough and tumble world of Boston politics. No one in my family had ever run before, showed an interest. My parents would bring me voting with them when I was little. And it was at Latin school when I was a student there that I really began an appreciation for public service. So I would work part-time after school at Roach Brothers Supermarket bagging groceries, and on weekends and during the summer I would then begin interning in the city council for Councilor-at-Large Peggy Davis Mullen. And it was there that I developed a true appreciation for the importance of local government and how it truly is the first line of defense for so many people. So from there, I got involved, went to school in Washington, D.C., worked in government down there.
Where'd you go to school in D.C.?
George Washington University. And while many of my classmates were pursuing the elusive White House internship or interning on the Hill, I sent a resume and a cover letter to Jim Graham, who was the Ward 1 councilman down there, and he hired me on part-time, so I was doing constituent services in the neighborhoods of the district.
So you got a more realistic internship.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it was a great experience. And came back home after college, worked with my dad, who was a contractor, and then did run in 2003 when I was 23 years old. We ran a good campaign with a lot of heart, but not a lot of money or resources, and went on to work for Andrea Cabral. And
you worked for the Suffolk County Sheriff, Andrea Cabral.
Yeah, I was her campaign manager in 2004 and then was her legislative director for about 2.5 years.
And a bit more on your history. You grew up in Roslindale. You now live in Jamaica Plain.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you went to Boston Latin School.
Yes, that's correct. Why
do you want to be on city council?
Well, because as I said, I grew up in a triple-decker in Roslindale, and we didn't have a lot, but I thought I had everything in the world because we had family and friends and neighbors that had a stake in me and caused me to realize why I should have a stake in myself and a stake in my neighborhood and my community. And I love this city. I love this district. I have roots in virtually every part, and I want to make sure that every kid and every triple-decker in Roslindale or West Roxbury or JP is able to have the same supports and the same opportunities that I had. It comes down to making the schools a little bit better, the streets a little bit safer, and making sure we have a vibrant local economy.
You have said that you would vote to remove Chuck Turner from his seat. Chuck Turner, of course, was just convicted on corruption charges. Now, Turner has asked the city council to wait until his sentencing before voting on his removal. Why not wait for that?
Well, because he said that he's not going to appeal it. The verdict, I think, was a sad day for Councilor Turner and his family and supporters. But he has betrayed a very serious breach of the public trust. And I think that when you serve in office or even seek office, you need to hold yourself to the highest ethical standards. It's not a vote that I'm looking forward to taking. I would have hoped that he would have resigned. It appears he's not going to do that. So I will vote for removal at the hearing on December 1st.
As we've said, you're the youngest, but actually only slightly, I think, because Felix Arroyo elected last
year. It's either 4 or 8 months that I've got on him, or that he has on me, I should say.
So what do you think the two of you bring with your youth?
Well, I think, not only that, but Councillor Conley's in his 30s, Councillor Presley, There's a tremendous amount. Rob Consalvo's 40, but someone that I've known for quite some time. Mike Ross, of course, the council president, and even the you know, people who might have a little more. A little longer in the teeth than I have just done some great things and worked well. And I'm looking forward to working with all my colleagues, my future colleagues, in bringing sort of that vibrancy and energy and seriousness to the council.
Listeners, if you have questions for Boston's newest city councilor, who's also now Boston's youngest city councilor, Matt O'Malley, he was elected Tuesday and he's taking calls at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Matt O'Malley, we have a caller from Reading, okay. Not your district, but still has a question for you. And this is Bill from Reading. And Bill, what's your question for new Boston or city councilor-elect Matt O'Malley?
First, I'd like to congratulate you on your victory. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. In your town, Jamaica Plain, in the 15th Suffolk District, on the ballot in November, there was a public policy question asking the legislator in that district to introduce and support laws that would allow medical marijuana. I wanted to ask, the ballot question was supported by 71% of the voters in the 15th Suffolk. Did you vote on that? And how did you vote?
And
how would you vote?
Let me jump in. I think, according to the Jamaica Plain Gazette, it actually passed with 66%, but still by quite a wide margin.
Sure. I did vote, as I've almost always voted. And I did vote in favor of that. I do not support legalization of marijuana, but would certainly support medicinal marijuana for chronically ill patients.
Matt, what do you think are the biggest issues for your constituents?
I think it's education. It's the one I've knocked on doors in virtually every precinct, as I said, and just strengthening the state of public education.
Schools and this public schools.
Boston public schools, absolutely. We've got some great schools, some great teachers, but we really need to focus on hiring more teachers, lowering class size, extending the school day by 1 hour, duplicating the successful models that have worked in other schools, like the Saturday Success School Program, bringing citizen schools and other public-private partnerships.
What do you think of the Boston Superintendent Carol Johnson's recent proposal to close some schools, merge some schools? In one case, it's a strong school being merged with a struggling school. And she's certainly, parents and students in those schools are not that thrilled. What
No.
are your thoughts about
and
that?
And I was at English High School about a week before the election, and it was probably, you know, upwards of 600 people there. I know the superintendent, Dr. Johnson, has reversed course on some things and is bringing more parental input into the process, which I support. We need to make sure that any school that's closed is done equitably, that we've got resources for the students, for the teachers. Sometimes the situations warrant that a school has to be closed. My mother and sister both teach at the Higginson Lewis School in Roxbury. The Higginson was a small K through 5 in Roxbury because of dwindling enrollment. It was merged and created a K through 8 model. It's thriving now. So sometimes it can work, but I really want to make sure that we're able to do this well. Hyde Park High, particularly, which is a newer facility, has some great programs and is needed out there. I have some concerns about closing that school down.
We have a caller from your district, from JP. This is Christopher. And Christopher, what's your question for Boston City Councilor-elect Matt O'Malley?
Congratulations, Councilman-elect. My question is a simple one. I was just wondering if you could expand a little bit on your thoughts for making the streets of JP safer. My wife and I live on Mozart Street in Boston. That's one of the more notoriously known streets in our neighborhood, and though we don't feel that there's a culture of fear or anything, we're just wondering what your ideas for making the street safer. Thanks.
That's a great question. Thank you for the call, Christopher. I think we need to do a number of things. The first is getting more police officers on the street, having more walking beats as well as biking beats. I met this morning with several members of the Eggleston Square Main Streets. It's something they desperately want for their business district as well as for the safetiness. I was on Mozart Street door knocking just the week before the election. I know that area well. My mother taught at Blessed Sacrament and spent a lot of time there as I was growing up. It's sort of a second home to me. So we need to expand the number of police officers on the street. I think we need to take a look at some of the successful models that worked during the Boston Miracle of the 1990s, and that's making sure that we're able to share information between the District Attorney's Office, U.S. Attorney's Office, Probation, the Sheriff's Department, BPD, making sure all the community and public safety stakeholders are on the same page. I think we need to look at stronger reentry programming and reintegration programming. It's what I did at the Sheriff's Department working in community affairs. The Sheriff's done some great things. We need to give these people who have made a mistake and absolutely should be punished the tools and resources so as not to reoffend.
And, Matt O'Malley, we have another caller from your district with a question. This is Larry from West Roxbury. And, Larry, what's your question for Matt O'Malley?
Congratulations, City Councilor-elect. did very well.
Thank you, Larry.
The question I have, I listened to you briefly describe your interest and focus on education. Just how much increase in taxes are you willing to accept in order to achieve the things that you propose?
Well, no increases in taxes. I think we've got two revenue streams that really have been under-tabbed that could relate directly to education. The first is collecting pilot fees. Pilot is an acronym for payment in lieu of taxes. We've got a majority of property in the city that's tax-exempt. It's colleges, it's universities, it's hospitals, it's nonprofits, you know, churches, synagogues. Some should remain as such. But the colleges and universities particularly need to have some sort of a fair formula in terms of their payments in lieu of paying property taxes. Now, some are great partners. Boston University is known for giving college scholarships to Boston High School students, but others aren't as much. So there's really an untapped revenue stream there in terms of pilot fees that I'd like to see directly earmarked for education. Secondly, it's the transportation budget. We spend upwards of $80 million every year on transportation costs. Obviously, we need to keep some, but I do support an increase in neighborhood school seats, and I think that's a potential windfall of tens of millions of dollars that could be directly put back into the educational budget. So we could achieve excellence in education without raising property taxes.
Matt O'Malley, last question for you. How would you describe your relationship with Mayor Menino?
Well, you know, as someone who the mayor's been mayor more than half of my life here, I think he's done some great things. I'm looking forward to working with him. There's a lot in which we agree. There are some issues in which we disagree. And
what are the issues you disagree on?
Certainly, I don't support the residency requirement for city workers. I would support having a hybrid school committee, half elected, half appointed. Would support some reform of the Boston Redevelopment Authority. So I'm happy to hold my ground and be an independent voice on issues in which we differ, but in issues in which we agree, of which there are many. Looking forward to working with him to building a better Boston.
Matt O'Malley, thanks for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Matthew O'Malley is the newly elected member of the Boston City Council. He was elected Tuesday, and Matt, you'll be sworn in November 30th, I believe.
Correct.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, a canned can-can? The Radio City Rockettes are kicking up some controversy here in Boston. That's next. We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.